when the Ramananda Sambhad, Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda, what is the most, the worst type of suffering or the most unbearable unhappiness? what do you think? Krishna Bhakta Viraha. The separation from the devotee, not Dekhyupar. I can't see that there's anything any greater loss than this, any greater suffering. And it's noteworthy that, say, what is the most unbearable type of separation? We would think, oh, from Krishna. We're all suffering in separation from Krishna, in forgetfulness of Krishna. The gopis are suffering in separation from Krishna, but in intense remembrance. So that Srila Guru Maharaj says, the cure for this is the concept of union and separation. But rather than saying the most unbearable type of unhappiness is as feeling separation from Krishna, he says it's from the devotee that we cannot bear, because really this goes to the heart of the matter. Without the devotee, there is no Krishna. So the others, and nothing else enters the equation without connection with a devotee. And we don't just say this because it sounds nice, it sounds sincere, it's some sort of devotional hyperbole, but it's a fact. As Guru Maharaj said, when we hear things like, you know, gopi bartur padakamalayo dasa dasa anudasa tad britya britya paricharaka britya britya, the servant of the servant of the servant. Listen, it's not poetry. it's the fact, the factual situation. In one place it says, there are only two things in the Kali Yuga, the Vaishnavas, Shastras, and Vaishnavas. And I thought about this, and I thought, it's telling us there's only one thing, the Vaishnavas. Because without the Vaishnavas, there are no Vaishnava Shastras. Without the Vaishnavas, without the devotees, because they say, well, what about, I mean, it said the holy name, that's everything, and if you, and that's the flawed thinking of those who, they've been around, not only devotees, but purest devotees of the highest caliber, generationally, from Prabhupada, the Srila Sridhar Maharaj, the Srila Gurudev, and not taken the holy name of Krishna. It tells you right there what the problem is. They think, no, I have the holy name, I've got everything. No, without the devotee, your holy name taking is suspect. Okay. We call that into question. What is this name you speak of that you take? When Saraswati Thakur was speaking Harikatha once, and we thought these things only happened in our lifetime. He's speaking Harikatha, and off in the corner, some devotee going like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And Saraswati Thakur said, stop making noise. And that he had the audacity, he said, you're making noise. I'm chanting the holy name of Krishna. Said that the Saraswati Thakur. But Saraswati Thakur said, stop making noise. What you're doing, you're making noise. This so-called name-taking, what you're doing, like the children who play dress-up. Right? So they put on the high heels of their mother and lipstick, and they're playing adults. It may be charming for a child, Might be. So what we're told, without the devotee, none of these things are substantial. That's what we're being told. Without the devotee, there is no Krishna Nam, there is no deity, there is no prasadam, there are no Vaishnava Shastras. We have nothing without the devotee. And Srila Prabhupada's life and contribution, unparalleled contribution to the Krishna consciousness movement and spreading this all over the world underscores this to the extreme. Sometimes we heard there were some, once Prabhupada would send us to these programs in Calcutta. They were either like courtesy calls to family, friends who were known before, like go do a program at their house, it's on this address, you know. And we'd get the call. Then we'd send a bunch of devotees, we'd have kirtan, a talk, prasadam, they'd be very happy. Sometimes there were major donors, different things. But I remember this one man, he was in the major donor category. We were told to do a program at his house for like 2 or 3 days. And at the end, when all the goodbyes are being said, and he is like so happy and everything, and he said, and to think, if Swami Vivekananda had never gone to America, none of this would have been possible. And I was like, I wanted so much to say something. I thought, this man, if all I need to do is go back and hear the big man Prabhupada sent us to his house, you know, and he's donating, you know, and like, I offended him by saying something. And just like, yes, so true, so true. If Swami Vivekananda had not gone to America, they can think like, there were some ladies who had, in Chicago, the Gauranga Society. And they'd get together and, we're reading Lord Gauranga by Sushil Kumar Ghosh. It's excellent. Nothing came from any of these things. They're delightful fantasies at best, but not delighting Saraswati Thakur, who told Guru Maharaj about that Lord Gauranga book, which was the fanciful creation of this Shushira Kumar Goshi. A little from Charitamritam, a little Chaitanya Mangal, a little Chaitanya Bhagwat. What could go wrong? What's not to like? What did Saraswati Thakur said? Nija, Boga, Gauranga, Gorilla. He's presented the Gauranga of his fancy. What delights him about all this? He said, but no man of substance will not find anything there. A substantial Vaishnava that won't find anything there. And Guru Maharaj readjusted his thinking. So, always required is, and we should have known this from beginning in Krishna consciousness, nirmat saranam satam, the emphasis on the devotee. Without the devotee, you don't get any real Krishna. Nam. Rupa, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. Just fancy, fictitious devotion, a hallucination, amusement, the imagination. When one of his early disciples told him, Prabhupada, he thought, the book would have more appeal. Instead of calling it Bhagavad Gita, you should call it Song of God. Then we can sell it better in bookstores. So let's not call it Bhagavad Gita. I think better to call it the Song of God. Right? Some people think, oh yeah, that might be more appealing to people. Prabhupada protested. No, it must be called the Bhagavad Gita. as it is. He's like, firm. Yes, as it is. The naked truth. I've mentioned when traveling on the so-called library party, we always began with the card catalog. In the morning, you see what books they have in their library. Do they have Bhagavad Gita? If so, how many other? It gave us a clue to how to proceed. And in one library I thought, Prabhupada's always saying there are hundreds of editions. I'm in a big library. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, counting. So many. 40, 50, 60. It keeps going. I'm going, wow. And then it occurred to me, in all of these Bhagavad Gitas, for example, Krishna says, Manmana Baba Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru. Become my devotee. You know, Sarvadharmam Paritata, give up everything, surrender to me. And all these books are saying that. And they've been there for 100 years or more. And people read these books, and not one person decided to become a devotee of Krishna. That's very interesting. It's there in the book, even before they get to their skewed commentary. But no one decided to do that. Then Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is comes, and not only in America, all over the world, hundreds, thousands of people decide to become devotees of Krishna, give up everything and surrender to him. That alone, you make a case for the potency of what he's giving compared to what they're giving, their fanciful interpretations of what this could mean, or how it helps us understand modern life better, or have a better day at the workplace. That's not the message of Bhagavad Gita. So, and Prabhupada would get so excited, railing against primarily two groups, Mayavadis and Sahajiyas. Mayavadi impersonalists, Sahajiyas.
And scientists,
three. But what particularly irked him is when, you know, the so-called president of India, no less, Dr. Radhakrishnan, what a name, says in his interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna's saying, surrender, give up everything, surrender to me, become my devotee. And he says, as I checked, I wanted to see, you know, what he actually said. And he says, it is not to the person, Krishna, to whom we are to give ourselves up to utterly, but the unborn, impersonal, who's speaking through Krishna. This would make Prabhupada's blood pressure rise. Rascal, he'd be smashing these people. He says, Mom, Sarvadhar Mom, Paritan, Mom Ekam Sharanam Braja, Mom Ekam, to me alone, surrender. Mom, when some Indian gentleman was visiting our ashram, he said he liked Sanskrit so much. We were talking, yeah, the word lotus, there's so many, you know, Padma, Pankaja, what else? Padma, I mentioned. Anyway, I said, there's more. My brain's not working right now. But, and I said, so how, and each word is used to select. To be precise in what is conveyed. And it just occurred to me, I said, so when Krishna says, Sarvadhar Mam Parichaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, it's just the word me, I think, surrendering to me, Mam Ekam, you know, me alone. And that man said, oh, I don't know so many words. I said, well, wait, you just gave me 12 different words for the word lotus. Here's a very simple word, surrender to me and me alone. I don't know so many words. then his position became revealed. Why? Because he's one of those who's thinking, not to him. When Krishna says, surrender to me, he doesn't mean to me. That's why Prabhupada would say, it's so simple. It's so clear. He's saying, surrender to me. And what are they saying? It's not to Krishna whom you said surrender. And people are like, oh, then who is it? The unborn, impersonal, speaking through Krishna, who's within all of us. You know. Prabhupada could not tolerate these things. And so he would challenge them, like the man he said. He's teaching, you do not need a teacher. He's writing books, you do not read books. And people do not challenge this rascal. His teaching is, you don't need a teacher. He's writing books, you don't need to read books. And people are there like sheep reading the book. Oh, it says here, you don't need to read books, you don't need a teacher. So wherever he saw, and he knew that the whole of America and the whole Western world was polluted by this sort of thing. And the, as you say, the scientists, they're giving apparently a scientific basis for atheism. Swarup Damodar Maharaj, he was a legitimate scientist and a, you know, gentleman Vaishnava from Manipur. Prabhupada made him the head of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, whose purpose was to challenge them. I remember being in Atlanta, Georgia, and around the time of the founding, and Prabhupada's laying some groundwork, and he said what he wanted was that, he said, you should challenge the scientists with bombastic language. The word bombastic, which itself is an example of what it is. So he's saying challenge them with bombastic language, because they're always doing that. But later, when Swarup Damodar Maharaj was coming to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj was really giving him the key through subjective evolution. He's saying this is like an atom bomb on the heads of the atheists, the subjective evolution of consciousness. But Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Prabhupada even sometimes just called him scientist. He'd be on a morning walk and go, scientist! And then he'd come up from the back, and then they'd have this mock debate. But so for so long he was thought of in the context of being a scientist and everything. And I think in a humble, sweet way, he wanted everyone to know, like, you know, I'm also an aspiring devotee. Like, so he was telling Guru Maharaj, like, I'm making a temple in Manipur and doing this. And that's a wonderful thing. But Guru Maharaj is also a little firm on these things, too. And he said, you're not meant for that type of construction. He said, many can do that. He said, but Swami Maharaj wanted you to construct a temple over the tomb of Darwin. That you can do. This other type of temple construction, many can do. But that's what he wanted from you. He said, because that Darwinian evolution, he said, the ghost of Darwin is haunting everyone. So, and he is always, to show his preaching spirit and mood, Guru Maharaj said, like, he'd come to him in Calcutta and say, Gandhi and Nehru, they're having a meeting. We must go there right now, like, you know, break the door down and come in and tell them they need to preach about Mahaprabhu's Krishna culture. You know, and he always had some program. People think that Prabhupada started preaching in 1965. No, that's when he took Krishna consciousness to the Western world, and first year not even showing so much success, but he always had a preaching program. If you look carefully at the biographies and his own notes and poetry, he's always like having a Janmashtami celebration in Vrindavan, inviting important people and anyone, you know, to come to his festival. So it's not that he started preaching in 1965. He's always preaching, but meeting with various levels of success. And as we said, even in that first year in America, after a year, the voyage and all that we've discussed extensively, but after a year of, you know, putting his books, selling Bhagavatams to bookstores, that's why you would find them. If you went to bookstores in New York or San Francisco, you would find these old so-called brown Bhagavatams. Some of them were sold to them by Prabhupada himself. That's what he'd show up in the bookstore, imagine, in full sannyas vaishnavi, and tell them, you know, I have these books, and some of them would go, you know, maybe the people will like that. And they would buy a few books from him. He'd have some programs, but not showing much result. Writing back to India to see if any help was going to come from there. No help was going to come from there. Who's fulfilling Saraswati Thakur's order, right? He's now in America and he's saying, I found a nice building, here's how much it costs, down payment. I mean, Prabhupada's also a businessman. And so those who did have substantial means found some reason not to support him, you know, which is a shame. So after a year, Prabhupada's saying, I've tried what I can, I'm not getting much of a result. I guess I should go back to India. Because he wrote Guru Maharaj, what do you think about it? He said, in the absence of Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, I'm accepting you as his representative. What do you think I should do? And Guru Maharaj, there's this expression you sometimes hear amongst the Vaishnavas, Prabhu Datta Desh, meaning that land, and by extension zone, area, however you want to call it, that was given to you by Guru for your seva. Right? And Guru Maharaj said, I think that Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur has given you where you are now in America. That's your Prabhu Datta Desh. That's what was given to you. So you should just stay. But Prabhupada's vacillating. But I'm not getting the result, and he's a results-oriented person. So later, when he wrote that letter, he's saying, yes, I will just stay here, you know, till the end. But anyway, he went down to the same steamship, Scindia steamship line that had brought him to America. He went down to see the schedule. You know, they usually have this blackboard like with chalk written on there. You know, the next one's leaving on this date. Because he knows he gets free passage back, being unable to afford, you know, airfare or to travel any other way. And checking that chart, when's the next ship going back to India? When he's walking away, this Professor Howard Wheeler, Professor of English Literature, who later becomes Hayagriva Prabhu, sees Prabhupada, and he said, are you from India? He'd been to India with some of his friends. Because he sees Prabhupada's dressed in full sannyas vesh, and you know, walking with his stick and everything. And then Prabhupada explains to him who he is, where he's come from, whom he represents. It's on the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur that he's there. It's not some whimsical thing that he decided, you know, Vilasatu Ridinityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. The orders of Saraswati Thakur were always playing in his heart. From the first meeting in 1922, he said, you're an educated young man, you are fluent in English, you should take Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. Told him that in the beginning, middle, and end. And when other devotees of Gaudiya Math, they would say, we want, his name was Abhay Charan, but called Abhay Babu, and they said, we want to engage him locally at the Math, or he's a, you know, very dedicated Grihastha. Saraswati Thakur would say, don't, you know, approach him. He will come, he will do the needful in time. You don't have to worry about him, you know. So Prabhupada stayed on with resolute determination to fulfill the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur, which is then pursuant to the prediction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Mahaprabhu himself. Prithivite ache jata nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoi be mor nam. And one by one, he convinced others. And I say, this railing against the Mayavadis and the Sahajiyas, that's from like day one, because these are all young people from the Lower East Side of New York, Greenwich Village, the hippie movements, and they've all been poisoned, as it were, by these impersonalist gurus from India and the things that they say. So Prabhupada will hear this from his own fledgling disciples. He's hearing these. That's because people say, why is Prabhupada always talking about, and the devotees asked, like, who, they, and as the legend goes, they asked Prabhupada, who are these Mayavadis and Sahajiyas you keep talking about? And he said, you are. And it's also, and I don't exempt us. It's not that like, yeah, there's us and them. No, we're all polluted internally by these sort of misconceptions. Right. And we saw in time, it's actually the disciples of Swami Maharaj following Sahajiyas. I think more rare Mayavadis and impersonalists. But we were very comfortable with those things, and Prabhupada could see it. And not only that, in time it was coming out. Before his Gita was published, they were using sometimes for class Dr. Radhakrishnan's Gita. Imagine, said, so how was the Bhagavad Gita class? Oh, it was great. And what book did you read? This one. Ah! So Prabhupada can understand the necessity of like publishing right away. Even when I joined, there was a big legal size Xerox copy of the Bhagavad Gita as it is to use for the class in the evening. There was some urgency for publication. So, and the beauty of just the phrase, like Saraswati Thakur would say, you can see in some of his talks the personality of Godhead. I believe, you know, you may have come up with that. And but Prabhupada's always was Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the very phrase, Krishna Consciousness, which Guru Maharaj liked so much, and to this day we use so extensively, that's from him. Reason, Guru Maharaj likes everything because he looks at it and then like traces ontological or etymological origin. So he liked it because it's like Krishna Chaitanya, translated into English, Krishna Consciousness, and the Krishna Consciousness movement. So, and really, one by one, he converted the devotees, and gradually, one by one, they also began to realize something about who he was, his level of purity and Vaishnavata, his level of Vaishnavism, that, you know, as we're told, the Vaishnavas, Sparshamani, that they're like touchstone, but philosopher's stone in the sense, whoever comes in connection with them becomes transformed. And I remember hearing from the beginning, when we heard, what are the three levels, Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttam, Kanishta Bhagwat, maybe one's taking the name of Krishna in an appreciative way, Madhyam Bhagwat, regularly taking. But when you come in connection with the Mahabhagwat, we think, well, they're incessantly taking. But it doesn't say that. It says, when you come in connection with the Mahabhagwata, the holy name of Krishna descends in you. They might not, who knows what they're doing? They could be doing anything and everything. But coming in connection with them, the holy name of Krishna descends in you, in your heart. And I remember this one particular time when I got to serve Prabhupada and opened the door in New York, and I went in, and like when I saw him, it was like really maybe the first time really seeing him close, like you know, what do they call it, tete a tete, face to face, you know. And my heart became filled with the holy name of Krishna. He didn't say anything, just looking, say eye contact. My heart was filled with the holy name of Krishna. And I thought, oh, this is what I heard or read in the scriptures. When you meet the Mahabhagavata, you become filled with Krishna Nam. And in a sense, he filled the heart of the whole world with Krishna Nam. Because everywhere, regardless of what the name was, it became known as like the Krishna movement, or the Krishna people, always were identified with Krishna, and happily so. And for me, it's reminiscent of Saraswati Thakur saying, you know, in one line where he said, you know, it was just like at the end of a sentence, but he said, but this is important for, you know, whatever, however the sentence began, it ended with, for Krishna, all Krishna-loving people. I thought, that's so sweet. He said, the Krishna-loving people. We aspire to that. We aspire to be the servitors of the Krishna-loving people. And so, Srila Prabhupada, according to Guru Maharaj, I can say, with the highest authority, saying, he would say, we're from the same plane. There's a plane where Srila Prabhupada resides. Where Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev reside, they're in that same plane. It's not disconnected. And we'll see and how they express certain things, what they write, what they share. We see the connecting threads of that that can only indicate that not only are they from the same plane, but have descended from that plane. And as representatives of that, have established that through their various ashrams, temples. So in Prabhupada's case, we see to this day, we're just coming from India, and his movement in the form of ISKCON, it's only going bigger and more extensive, with more people joining and offering themselves in service to his holy lotus feet. He genuinely did not consider himself a big person, considered himself a humble, aspiring servitor of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Sometimes he would say, I'm blindly following my Guru Maharaj. I do not know what are the results, but when you look at the results, they're extraordinary and exceptional. And I remember the last time I saw him, he came out of India briefly, went to London for some medical treatment, but then sort of went back to India and left the world within a few months after that. But he was in this very, it's as if he was just permanently dwelling in the upper world and only coming down here for some brief interactions. But so we're at this big meeting, all these devotees came, and Prabhupada was there. It was Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, and someone sang like Sri Guru Charana Padma song. And then Prabhupada said something like, do they know the meaning of these things? And different people were offering up different things. And Prabhupada was like very, very soft spoken and like sort of like smiling a little to himself. And he said, like, I don't even know if he could hear what people were saying, but he was saying, he said very beautifully, sweetly, affectionately, with great love and certainty. He said, there's only two things you need to understand. But he's saying like this, there are only two things you need to understand. I happened to be sitting very close to him so I could hear. And he said that, and it was in classic Prabhupada simplicity and profundity. He had this knack for reducing things to something very, very simple, understandable, and palpable, that you could feel. Because before this, I'll say, like, because we were just in Vrindavan, like, he could say something so simple, and it would just, like, hit everyone. Like, we're in Vrindavan at this time, it's, like, so hot and everything, and Prabhupada's giving a lecture, and he said, and he'd say something like, we are all suffering. And everyone would go like, yes. Anyone could say, we're all suffering. But he said, we are all suffering. And we're just like, oh my God, tell me about it. The whole group. Because we are suffering. But here, on this time, he said, there are only two things you have to understand. Really? He said, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna and we have no other business in life save and except serving Krishna. And he went, that's all. But that's, so he said, what do we need to understand? We're all eternal servants of Krishna and we don't have any business other than serving Krishna, being that we're all eternally servants of Krishna. He said, that's all. But he, you know, I've seen numerous occasions when someone came with some personal problems or this, that, or the other. Old disciples would be allowed to like have a personal darshan within him because that everyone would do that. It's just not possible. But I was there for some of these meetings, or he sent me to get some senior devotee he was going to talk to. And it's a fact, Prabhupada could just say at the end, like this one woman, she had, her husband left her, she's with a little baby girl, she's like, you know, all these things going on. And Prabhupada said, so, he said, you have one beautiful, sweet little girl, and the little girl sitting there, you know, she's like this big, she's like 4 years old, Prabhupada just given her, she's holding a sweet ball in her hand. Prabhupada said, and he said, you remember me? And the little girl goes, holding the sweet ball. Prabhupada said, look, you have this beautiful child. Raise her in Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. And then I'm like, thank you. He's the one who would say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But when he would say that, you would think, God, why didn't I think of that? You know, like, I just need to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. What am I thinking? I allowed my mind to become filled with all sort of complexity, doubt, confusion, and everything. And all I really need to do is chant the holy name of Krishna and be happy. So we can say, oh, that sounds so simplistic. And perhaps it is. But what I'm trying to say is when Prabhupada would say that, and he said that so many times, you believed it and could feel it. And there was a great relief in your heart to hear that and know, I just have to focus myself in this way. So, and when the actual disappearance of Prabhupada came, and in a sense, even the oldest devotees had been around for, you know, 10 years, 12 years. So it was like a group of orphans, in a sense. And everyone's trying to make sense out of this or understand it and go on. It's unimaginable how to continue without his manifest presence. And no one even really pretended to have the answers to the what was being felt. What to speak of, how to articulate or express the heart at that time. And I feel until we came to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, who was equipped to express what the heart of the servitor, the devotee, child felt. And that's how I felt when I heard Srila Guru Maharaj's voice for the very first time. When this issue he addressed, that on Prabhupada's order, he said, and they wanted to know, they could see he's going to leave the world soon. After you, when the necessity arises to consult higher spiritual authority, who should we approach? He said, you should go to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He didn't say a second person or a third person. He said, when the necessity arises to consult higher spiritual authority, you go to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And that's why they did. It was not a whimsical decision or an option, one of many options. No, it was an order by Srila Prabhupada that they approached Srila Guru Maharaj. And sincerely they did. And they had so many questions about the intricacies that could arise about gurus, disciples, initiation, first, second, sannyas, shiksha, diksha, and those questions were all answered perfectly. And any, what's the word where someone tries to? I'm not even going to say it. So, but before all those questions are asked, Srila Sridhar Maharaj actually starts saying what everyone needed to hear. Right. That they don't even know to ask. He knows what we need to hear. So he didn't begin by going, which he can and did, on the intricacies of guru-disciple relationships and guru and godbrother and all of those things, which he answered perfectly. Right. But what he began by saying was, and that's the first time he said, you know, how guru-centric we are and how focused on the devotee as all in all and everything without which we have nothing. And he said, we've been told, you know, that the guru is like the water, the shisha, disciple is like the lotus in the water, and Krishna is like the sun. Remove the water from the lotus and the sun burns the lotus. Right, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Guru Jana Shire Puna Shobha Pai Shataguna. When I look at my Gurudev, the lotus feet of Sri Guru, and I see above Guru Krishna, 100 times more beautiful than if I try to appreciate Krishna directly. It's 100 times more beautiful. He said, just overhead, the lotus feet of Sri Guru. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's everyone consistent. It's not like he has some opinion different than Vishwanath, Roops, and everyone else. No, this is the way to see. He's saying, so that Krishna, who's 100 times more beautiful, remove the water that represents Sri Guru, and that very sun burns the lotus, cannot withstand direct contact. Right. Think that's how essential the Asraya Vigraha Guru is, the sheltering water in whom the disciple has taken shelter and thrives only and is safe only in those waters. And he said, and Raghunath Das Goswami, the Mahaprabhu says, Gobinda Birahiname, Sunyaita, Yugaitam Nimishena, Chakshusha Pravrishaitam, Sunyaitam Jagat Sarvam, Govinda Birahiname, Sunyaitam Jagat Sarvam. You see, the world is zero. It's void. It's vacant. But Raghunath Das Goswami ratchets it up to another level when he says, Sunyaite Mahagoshtam Girindro Jagarayate Bhagram Tundayate Kundam Jivatu Rahitasyame, that that which was formerly a source of my inspiration now appears adverse or antagonistic to me. In his case, what? Govardhan, he said, now looks like a python coming to swallow me. And Radha Kunda, the holy of holiest places, looks like a tiger's gaping jaws coming to devour me without you. Ashavari amrita sindamoyi katanchit kalo mayati gamita kila sampratamhi. Tom chait kripam ayi vidasha vinayva kimme prane vrajena chaboru bokarinapi. His prayer is called Bilap Kusumanjali. Kusumanjali means a flower offering. Kusum means flower, anjali offering. But here, Bilap means, his heart is lamenting, crying out, and the lamentation of separation. And where he's saying, in a direct prayer to Radharani, without you, of what use is Krishna to me? My life is no longer meaningful. And what's more valuable than my life? Normally nothing, right? But in the case of the devotee, Vrindavan. Vrindavan is of no value to me without you. Right? And he said, that is a shameful thing to say, but without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. How exclusive is devotion to Sri Guru? The ultimate Guru is Srimati Radharani. We take it that Guru is Radharani's delegation. So it's shown, in fact, everything is dependent upon Guru and Vaishnava. So this is what Guru Maharaj said to everyone before all these other questions were asked. And that's been missed by many, if not most. That needs to be revisited. And that's where I thought, this is the voice of my guru. And I thought, but Prabhupada just left, and now I'm hearing. This is unmistakably, undeniably the voice of Sri Guru. So as Prabhupada himself said in his Vyas Puja offering to Saraswati Thakur, he said, and I say, if anyone but Prabhupada said this, devotees would say, that's Mayavad. The average Prabhupada disciple, if they just heard this out of context, they would go, that's Mayavad. But can the person who railed against Mayavad make this statement? And it's so beautiful. He said, when we speak of Gurudev, the fundamental, remember it's a charge, when we speak of the fundamental principle of Guru, we speak of something that is of universal application. And thus there does not arise any consideration of my Guru and your Guru. He said there is only one Guru who appears to us through an infinity of forms to teach you, me, and all others. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada made that statement. It's profound. Think about it. Don't search for another one to cancel that. Think about it in a tustavicharic mind. Think about it, embrace it, and eternally embrace the lotus feet of Sri Guru. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Tirubha Maha Mahotsava Titi Ki Jai. His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. They say you should end with a sweet. Often we begin with the bitter truth. But like Corella bitter, Neem Begun bitter. But then you end with the sweet. Prabhupada's favorite song, Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. You want the four pranam mantras also. Get them ready, the four pranam mantras, Gurudev. Sing. Hari. If I start talking, it doesn't mean you stop singing or playing. You keep playing, you keep singing. And they stop when I'm saying that. Gopi jana balava jaya giri baradari jaya giri baradari. And flowers for Pushpanjali. Okay. Gopi jana balava jaya giri baradari jaya giri baradari. Yasoda nandana jaya braja janaranjana jaya braja janaranjana. Jaya Yasoda nandana jaya braja janaranjana jaya braja janaranjana. Jaya Jamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Jamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari. Before we say the prayers and offer the Pushpanjali, I'm really, my brain's not working. Would you like to say a few words? Just add a few, just say a few words. I can't, my head is totally congested, not only with material.
I wanted to remind all of us that, in the words of Srila Gurudev, till this day, we're still taking Swami Maharaj Mahaprasad. That came in the form of our guardians, our acharyas, our gurus, our senior devotees. We had direct association, close association with Swami Maharaj, or indirect association through the association with his devotees, with his disciples, and International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we should always remember that and, you know, always forget that this is by the grace of Swami Maharaj that we're having these wonderful devotees that are giving us shelter and guiding us till this day. Actually, I never met Swami Maharaj, but my first meeting, somehow he was this figure that drew me towards devotees, towards Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And the first meeting was when I had a school trip to the museum of a border patrol museum. a very small museum in Viborg. Maybe you know that place.
Yeah.
Not so far from St. Petersburg. So we came there and I was attracted to this stand. I liked books. So there was this stand that says illegal and dangerous literature. And there were piles, literally piles of. At that time I didn't know what it was, but there were piles of.
Some means dot.
Yes. Easy Journeys to Other Planets, The Science of Self-Realization, all in Russian language, beautifully printed. I really appreciated the quality of print. And there was a photo of Swami Maharaj, and I remember that very clearly, his face. Very unusual, very powerful image. And it is said, the cult leader of International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
And by the way, he would sometimes refer this to this as the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So
it was proper. And then a few years later, I told that story numerous times in connection to Srila Goswami Maharaj. I was playing some games with my friends. I was maybe 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
And he happened to have the easy journey to other planets on his table that was brought to him by his father, who was driving truck between Romania, Hungary, Czech Republic, and Russia. So he said this was given to him by some, you know, some man, and he took it. And it sounded interesting at first, but then he flipped through and he said, no, this is not so much for him. So it's there on the table. And I'm flipping the first page, and there's this hand-drawn, maybe you remember that. It was like a pencil drawn, a hand-drawn, not a photograph, but a portrait of Swami Maharaj, and it said under, in Russian, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, or Ache Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Yes.
And when I said it aloud, I was kind of mesmerized by the sound. And after I left my friend, for almost 2-3 years, it was just hunting me. Like time to time just come up in my mind, I always remember this image and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Till the day when I was on Nevsky Prospect. You definitely know that place.
Yes.
It was Dom Knigi, the house of books. It's a famous place. Or a book house.
And it's also where they used to have the so-called Museum of Religion and Atheism.
So I was going there to buy...
I took the tour.
To buy some books, Maharaj. I like the books generally. So I had 20 rubles with me that was given to my by my grandmother for a birthday.
So she gets Sukriti.
Yeah, she definitely gets Sukriti. Then I'm seeing this very strange man, but somehow I'm, you know, paying attention to this man. He stands there and he does this. He's wearing coat. It's about this time, in Russia, October, November. He's opening the coat time to time and showing the book and then hides it again. He looks around and shows the book and then hides it again. And I was drawn by the thought, and it reminded me of what I saw in that museum, the Krishna and Arjuna and the chariot. It was Sweden printed Bhagavad Gita in Russian. So I went straight to that man. I said, can I see your book? He said, but quickly. He said, just look quickly and decide if you want it or not. I flipped through and I saw A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So that again resonated in my mind. And I decided, okay, I'm going to buy this book. So I'm giving him 20 rubles. It was exactly 20 rubles, which was a lot of money. I was hoping to get like 10 books, but I got only one. I was a little bit disappointed, but something told me that this book is the one that I really need. And I was on the train from St. Petersburg to a tiny town where I was living. I was just reading the introduction by Swami Maharaj and then the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. By the time I arrived, I was convinced, I was converted. So I went straight to the kitchen. My mother was making some dinner. Something was boiling in the pot. Not so vegetarian things were boiling in the pot. But I was converted to the point that I went straight to the kitchen. I took the pot, I opened the window, and I threw it away. And she was shocked. What just happened? I said, you shouldn't eat meat, you should start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you should do this and that. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. That's what we're doing from now. She said, okay. But you shouldn't throw the dinner, you know. And I started chanting the very evening. Very evening I arrived. I also signed up my brother. So me and brother, we started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then there was this small paper with the phone. It was 1988, so it was still kind of illegal. And I called the next day, I'm calling to them, and they're saying, oh, if you want to come, please come, we have these programs. I went to the program, as also another story, but make it short. There was a big poster, again printed in Sweden, came with the books.
Yeah.
And it said, if you want to satisfy me, roughly it says in Russian, if you want to satisfy me the most, distribute my books. And it was signed, Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Right.
And I remember reading that, and from that moment I was convinced, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to distribute his books. And actually I already experienced how powerful the books were. And every time I would go anywhere throughout our devotional life in ISKCON those days, we always address our praise and remember Swami Maharaj. Even though we had gurus, appreciated by ISKCON gurus at that time.
His disciples.
Still, when it's come to a sincere prayer, first of all, we're addressing Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
A little something.
Yes, so they... That's beautiful. And you see, that why Prabhupada emphasized the book. The book converted you.
Yes.
And he is present in the book. And once some devotee said so many I mean, I am one of them. Foolish things, the guru Maharaj. But once someone said, but isn't it more important to distribute books than to write them? And Guru Maharaj said, even a non-devotee can distribute a book. He said, but only a devotee and higher devotee can write one. So, but having done that, then Prabhupada got to understand the emphasis should be on the distribution, because then you'll get this, you're getting Krishna through his agent, the devotee. And everyone has some powerful conversion experience just coming in connection with Srila Prabhupada's books. So, Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Tirubha, Mahamahotavatiti Ki, Jai. Do you have, you want to say a few words? Just a few.
Well, like Paramananda Prabhu said, we're all so indebted to Srilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are here. We know about the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat and Srila Gurudev and Srila Sridhar Maharaj by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. So we're always in his debt. And because I came straight to Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj, and joined the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, I always knew of Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj, as like an uncle guru, as a near and dear family member, and someone very approachable and affectionate and loving, not a larger than life, figure that was out of reach, but someone who was so loving and caring and affectionately related to my gurus. And that's something very special we got from Srila Gurudev and Srila Sridhar Maharaj and all their affectionate and intimate dealings. We've heard so much about them from Srila Gurudev, all living together on Sita Kanta Banerjee Lane, and eating breakfast together and joking with each other, and Gurudev liking Muri and Prabhupada liking Puri, and Srila Prabhupada joking with him, no, you're cheating your stomach. This is real breakfast. So we know from Srila Gurudev what he liked to eat. His Gurudev was the first back to God distributor.
Yeah.
And would go throughout Calcutta and preach to people and come back and debrief with Srila Prabhupada and tell all his happenings that day and how to deal with the Kali worshippers and what to say to them. And so we got all this. I heard their pastimes together and are a part of those pastimes. We're welcomed by them, so grateful to them, and continuing with their blessings and ever feeling that we are under their guidance and shelter and going on in this way. So on this day we so fortunate to remember and hear from Goswami Maharaj and Paramananda Prabhu about the glories of Swami Maharaj Prabhupada and knowing him to be our affectionate guardian, always there and always giving his mercy in the form of his books, his instructions, and his devotees. Jai Srila Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Tirubhav Mahotsav Titi Ki Jai.
Jai. Hare Krishna.